Hi, good to have you back for another episode of Career Time Playback. To give more students the opportunity to get career advice, we record our workshops and offer them to you as a podcast. You can listen to this podcast on Spotify, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Of course, you can also attend the workshops live. Make sure to check the university website and Career Service FGGA social media accounts for all upcoming career events.
So today we're talking about CV and cover letters. So we'll start with information about CV. We'll do a little CV exercise in breakout rooms, and then we'll move on to cover letters. Cover letters is a bit shorter than the CV part because cover letters are very individual. So I can give you a general outlook of a cover letter and what should be in there, how to structure it. But in the end, a lot of it depends on what you're writing in there. But more about that later. So I will give the floor to Diana.
Yeah, thank you, Anna. Well, let's get started with the workshop, CV and application letter. I will tell you more about the CV. I will start with that. First, I have a picture for you. It's a picture with the Dutch soccer team. And maybe you think, why this picture and this CV workshop? Well, this is a picture of the Dutch soccer team. And in Holland, we have the joke that there are 70 million people and 70 million coaches of the Dutch soccer team. Everybody knows it better, has ideas about how they should play, what they should do, what they've done wrong, different opinions all the time. And when you write a CV, it can be the same. Also different opinions, and sometimes it can be a bit nerve-wracking. Different advices you get all the time. There's no law for a CV. There's no strict rules. I think the best you can do is ask the people around you and the people you trust ask them for advice and make your own decisions. I think that's the best you can do. In this workshop, we will tell you more about general things, about general rules, the components of a good CV. But first, I will start with some questions for you. I have 5 questions, and this is the first one. The first question is, would you include a picture on your CV?
Yeah, so a lot of students are responding yes.
Yes.
Also, Someone who's saying they might Google you. And yes, well, not in England. It indeed really depends on where you are. In the Netherlands, it's very common, for instance, but there are countries where it's less common, but it also really depends on the organization.
Yeah, in Holland, we always advise students to put a picture on your CV because you can make a good first impression and you can make it a bit more personal, your CV. And I think it's important to use a good picture. And we always say it's important that the picture is friendly and businesslike and with a neutral background. A second question for you is, would you mention your date of birth on your CV? In Holland, it's not allowed to select based on age. So you cannot say for a vacancy, the maximum is 25 years or something like that. So I would put it on. I think it says something about you. And if people, if they really want to know it, they can find it out or they can find it on LinkedIn. But yeah, if you prefer no date on your CV, it's also okay. The third question is, would you mention your part-time job in a restaurant on your CV? Well, this is a question I often get from students. I think it's good, especially in the beginning of your career, it's good to show your experience. And I think it says something about you if you're working in a restaurant, for example, that you're a social person, that you like it to work with people, or that you are responsible. So I think it's good to put it on your CV. But if you have a lot of part-time jobs that are not so relevant, you can also make an item with several part-time jobs, and then you can mention the jobs, just to show them, and you can mention them very short. I think it's important to give most attention to the most relevant experience, but yeah, I think it's good to show that you've been working for a long time.
And you can also pool your experience a bit broader than what it looks like on the surface. So if you have been working in a restaurant and you don't have so much experience yet, it's indeed, as Diana says, good to show that you already taking the responsibility and you're making an effort at learning new skills. So you can, in your description, take this experience a bit more broad and talk about how the things that you were responsible of, that you learned to work in a team. And learning to work in a team, teamwork is something that's coming back in basically any job that you'll have in the future.
The fourth question is, would you use a fancy layout for your CV? Yeah, I think you're not applying as a graphic designer, so it shouldn't be too fancy. But I think, yeah, recruiters, they receive hundreds or dozens of CVs, and for one single position, it's important that they remember you and your CV. So if you use a nice layout, you can add a personal touch. So I think it's important to do something with the layout. It shouldn't be too fancy, but a nice layout is always good. You can, for example, use the website canva.com. There are some free templates you can use. It's very easy to make your own CV. And I think most important is to choose a style that suits you. Anna, I don't know if you want something to add.
Yeah, I think, for instance, sometimes students are a bit hesitant with using colors, but you can always Google what colors mean, for instance. So blue is a very business-like color, and you can basically never go wrong with blue. But it also already makes you stand out a bit more from people who are just using a Word template where everything is in black and white.
And a last question for you is, would you edit your CV for each application? I think 80% can always be the same, but you can make small changes to make your CV more relevant for employers and for the application or the job you want to apply for. It's important to look at the requirements. What do they look for? What do they ask for? And yeah, to try to meet these things in your CV. And you can use your cover letter for the special things in a vacancy, but it's good to change small things.
It can seem like a bit of a lot of work if you have to change it every time. So I always advise everyone to make a Word document where you just put all of your experiences, all of your courses, for instance, per education that you followed, and then you can just copy paste them into your CV that you're going to use for this application. So you, for instance, select three courses that best fit with this position. That way you don't have to think about it every time. You can just select the ones that fit best.
Yeah, I will tell you more about the components of a good CV. The first thing is start with personal information. You can think about your name, your current address, your email address, your phone number, your date of birth and the place of birth, your nationality. And if you have a LinkedIn profile, you can make a link to your LinkedIn profile. It's important to make a short link, not with all the numbers, but you can change it a bit so you have a nice short link on your CV. And it's important that your LinkedIn profile is up to date. It's a bit the same with your CV. There are national differences, but these are the general things on a CV. Another component is education. I think it's one of the most important things. Start with your most relevant experience. We always advise students to make a CV anti-chronological. It means that you start with your last experience, the last things on top. And most of the times, that are the most relevant courses. Sometimes employers, they have no idea about your particular study program. So it's good to add some information about your specialization, some relevant courses. Tell a bit more about your program. I think that's good. Another important thing is work experience. It's good to mention the jobs you've had and at which organizations. You start with the period and then the jobs and the organizations, and below you can tell something about the task or your responsibilities. And yeah, you can mention here sometimes several work experiences or your part-time work experiences. Another important one, in Holland, it's very important to add extracurricular activities on the CV. You can think of any organizational or managerial activities, the things that are not paid and not part of your study program. You can think, for example, of voluntary work or membership in a board, a study association, when you're a member of a political party, when you're a member of a sports club, or you've done some things in a church, or if you play music on a high level. it can be different things. And you can note all these things in the same way as work experience. Yeah, this is, yeah, boards of communities. Yeah, it's a bit the same. Another thing is languages. If you know your level B1, C2, whatever, you can put it on your CV. Or you can explain it a bit, like beginner, advanced, mother tongue, native speaker. Yeah, you can give a bit more explanation. IT skills and software. I always advise to put things on your CV if you know more than Microsoft Office. I think it's very common that you know Microsoft Office, but if you know some particular programs or they ask for programs in a vacancy, then it's important to mention them here.
Diana, we have a question. Yeah, how far back can extracurricular activities reach?
Yeah, I think that there's no strict rule, but I think 5 years ago or 6 years, I don't know if it was something that was very important for you and you've done it for a long period, then I would advise to put it on your CV. But if it's only one short thing a long time ago, then you can leave it out. That's what I think. Anna, I don't know what you think.
Yeah, always think about the relevancy. So if it's very relevant, then you can, it can be from a bit further in back in time. If it's less relevant, then maybe try and stick to 5 or 6 years. And also look at how much space you're spending on it. So if it's something that was very important, you can use bullet points to explain your responsibilities. If not, maybe you can write it under various extracurricular activities and just sum them up.
Another component is interests or hobbies. In Holland, this is very common. I know in other countries it's less common. But I think you don't have to use so much space, only one line or two lines about your hobbies or your interests. I think you can give your CV a personal touch and make it a bit more personal. And sometimes you hear that people use it as an icebreaker during a job interview. So it says something about you. And then people, they want to know the whole picture of a person. So it can help for that. For references, we always say only available on request. Don't put the contact details of the names of your references here. I think that's for later in the process, when they ask for it. And it's always important that your references, that they are informed so that they can be prepared for questions. Courses and certificates, also an option. You can put it on if you like that. I would advise you don't make it too long. A personal profile or an ambition, you can do it. You can describe your personal qualities. This is one of the most difficult things, I think, to write a good personal profile and be different than other people and then not using general things. You can also put this in a cover letter. Yeah, it's up to you what you prefer. It's not, it's not necessary, yeah.
Now, for the personal profile, I always say it's a bit of the glue of your CV. So sometimes people have done, for instance, various different things, or they decided to go halfway through their studies with a different path. This is the space where you can kind of like glue everything together and say where it is that you want to go. So try and use at least a last sentence on what it is that you're looking for. So are you looking for an internship, a traineeship, or your first job, in what kind of field? But also try and say a bit where you're coming from. And describe it in your own way. So you're saying something about yourself, and I often see students who say, oh, my friends and family describe me in this way. But try and inform it in a way where you're saying what you think about yourself and where you'd like to go.
Yeah, good point. And the last thing is publications. It depends on the job you apply for, if you want to put up publications on your CV. If you apply for a job as a PhD, or if you want to work for a newspaper, I think then it's very relevant to put some articles on your CV or some names of articles. For other jobs, I think it's less relevant. here a summary of a good CV. I think a good CV will catch the reader's attention. Yes, like I said before, sometimes recruiters, they may receive hundreds or dozens of CVs, and it's important to catch the attention and that they remember your CV. A good CV will be well presented with a nice font layout. You can use bullet points. And we always advise you can use 3 to 4 bullet points for a job experience or for some educational program if you want to use bullet points. A very important one is a CV can be 2 pages, that's the maximum, and it's anti-chronological. Sometimes I see CVs with 3 or 4 pages, but I think that's a general rule in the Netherlands, and I think everywhere you can use maximum 2 pages. And if you want to use 1 page, it's also fine. The first page is the most important. It's important to be consistent and that it's relevant for the job in question. No spelling mistakes, and a good CV will get you invited to an interview. That's why you write a good CV.
We have another question. If it's better to have only one paper, page. I don't think necessarily it's better to only have one page. What is the most important is that the most important information is on the first page.
Yeah, and I think when you're a student, I think it's good to have 1 page. But if you like it, you can use the 2 pages. But when you're working for a long time, then you can use 2 pages. Yeah, it depends on what you prefer. But yeah.
So I think that was a good summary. Cover letters. Yes. So where your CV is 2 pages, your cover letter should only be 1. Really, because, they're not going to read it otherwise, sorry to say. But actually, you should be able to convince the reader, so the employer, that you are the person that they want to have a conversation with in 1 page. So your cover letter is really there to sell yourself to get that interview. Format your letter well, so make sure it's easy to read. You can do this, for instance, by separating it into paragraphs. We will discuss about what these paragraphs should be in the next slides. Also, really try to be clear and direct. So as I mentioned before, we have a video on the STAR methodology. The STAR is a way of explaining your skills. And this video is mostly made for interviews, but this is something you can also apply in a shorter way in your letter, for instance. So really giving examples of your skills and your experiences instead of just naming that you have them, because everyone can name that they have done something or that they have a certain skill, that they're good at teamwork. But try and give examples of where have you used this teamwork? What was the outcome of you deploying that skill? Then be businesslike and don't be modest. So really sell yourself on there and only mention your positive qualities. So maybe I've had questions of students, I have this lesser quality that I think it's important for the employer to know, because otherwise it might be a surprise when the job starts. You can save that for the interview. The most important thing is to get that interview at first and really do a spelling check. I've talked to recruiters at different companies and they told me that the biggest turn down for a student or for an applicant is when there are spelling mistakes in the letter. So have it checked by someone and then have it checked by another person that you know are very grammar aggressive, so that you prevent that from happening. Then what should this cover letter buildup look like? Well, I would advise you to start with an original opening. So this can either be saying something about yourself. For instance, you can talk about a quote that has resonated with you. You can talk about a defining moment or defining thoughts that has led you to applying to this. Or it can also be about the organization. So maybe you saw something up in the news about them, or they've recently released a report that you have read or skimmed that you can connect to. But also in that opening, try and state where you have found the vacancy. So maybe you saw it on LinkedIn, or you have called the recruiter, you have talked to someone in the organization. If you can, always name a person in the organization that you've spoken to, emailed with, or had some sort of contact with. I think one of my biggest tips when applying to a job is try and contact someone and then show off that you contacted someone, because that's, well, first of all, an achievement that you picked up the phone and did that, because that can sometimes be a bit scary. But really, it's a good way that to show that you are actually really interested in the job and that you're trying to go the extra mile, not just sending in a standard letter. Then give some information about yourself in the second paragraph. So the second paragraph really goes through the job opening, try and maybe highlight the things that they are really looking for. They're quite often very specific on some things, but some things might be you have to read in between the lines to see what it is that they're looking for. But try and really do this, find out what they want in a person, in a future employee, and then try and highlight that you have those things. So if they say, hey, we're looking for someone who's big on teamwork, show that you have that teamwork, give examples of where you were working in a team. If they're looking for someone who has worked in project management, well, even if you have only done a few projects, which might not sound like, oh, you've been in project management, try and highlight these projects that you've done. That way you're showing that you are fitting with what they're looking for. Then you go to the third paragraph where you give your motivation for both the organization and the position. You can combine that in one paragraph or make it two smaller ones. But show why you want to work at this organization and not their competitor. Also show why you want to work in this position and not any of the other departments that are there. So really try and be specific, try and find, look on their website, try and see maybe their mission statement, their values, and connect that to yourself. So show why that fits with you and why that motivates you to apply for this job. And then the closing. Also really important, be active. So don't be too modest. Don't say, oh, I hope I get an interview. No, just say something along the lines of, invite me for an interview. I would like to explain more about myself and my motivation. Goes off with your name and maybe also your email address and your phone number so that they can immediately call you after they got super enthusiastic when they read your letter.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Career Time Playback. If you want to attend the next workshop live, you can register for the upcoming event via the university website or find more information on our Facebook or LinkedIn page. We hope to see you there.